Good morning, everybody. The later. The parsha for this week is Parshat Korach, the Korach rebellion, another one of the terrible tragedies that takes place in the desert. The Haftorah is from Sefer Shmuel Aleph. And in the Haftorah, we will begin to read the Haftorah, and you are going to see that there are basically, one is going to see immediately some of the relationships between the Sedra and the Haftorah. It is toward the end of the life of Shmuel. The people had asked Shmuel, who was the last of the Shoftim, and for that matter, now begins the period of the Nevi'im. He is the last of the Shoftim, the greatest of the Shoftim. The children of Israel come to him and they say that they want a king. They want a king. He gets upset that they've asked for a king. It seems to cast aspersions on his own leadership. They seem to be unhappy with him as the leader of the Jewish people. God's response is, Lo otcha ma'asu, it is not you whom they have rejected. Ki im oti ma'asu, it is me who they have rejected from being king upon them. Then the Navi goes on to tell us that God tells him, despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset with the request of the Jewish people, but he tells Shmuel, Shma b'kolam, listen to what they're asking for, and appoint a king. Then there's the whole story that the Shaul is the one who is appointed. At first, Shaul is not accepted by all of the people. Then there is an invasion, or a threat of an invasion from Nachash, the king of Bnei Ammon, and it is Shaul who gathers the people, is victorious in battle, and finally, all of Israel rallies around Shaul. The Haftorah is the last time that Shmuel is going to speak to the Jewish people. Let's begin to read. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am. Shmuel said to the nation, L'chu v'nelcha ha-Gilgal, let us go to Gilgal, u'nechadesh sham ha-melucha, and there we will renew the kingdom. We will renew the kingdom. Shaul had already been anointed earlier, but there was no common acceptance by the people. Now the people are ready to accept him, so in a sense, there's going to be a second coronation, or a second acceptance of Shaul as king. Vayelchu kol ha'amah Gilgal, the entire people went to Gilgal, vayamlichu sham et Shaul, and there they crowned Shaul lifnei Hashem by Gilgal, before God in Gilgal, vayizbechu sham zvachim shlamim lifnei Hashem, and they brought sacrifices, peace offerings before God, vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad ma'od, and Shaul and all of the people of Israel were very happy there. A renewal of the bond between the people and the king. The first time around, they had not accepted him. Not accepted him with a whole heart. Now, he is the great savior of the Jewish people. He has been victorious in battle. They rally around the king. Now begins Shmuel's last speech to the Jewish people. Vayomer Shmuel al kol Yisrael. Shmuel said to all of Israel, Hinei shamati bekolchem, behold, I have listened to your voice, l'chol asher amaretem li, everything you said to me. Now, I did what you requested, v'amlich aleichem melech, and I appointed a king upon you. The Malbim points out in a number of places in Tanakh, sometimes we hear that it says, Shma Bikol, listen, Bikol literally in the voice. It could also say, Shema, listen, Likol, to the voice. Where it says Bikol, Bikol means to listen precisely and to fulfill everything as one is instructed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, when Sarah tells him, I want you to remove that maidservant and her son, get them out of the house. I don't want him growing up with my son, Yitzchak. God says to Avraham, Kol asher tomar eilecha Sarah, whatever Sarah tells you, Shema bikola. Listen, do precisely as she says. And incidentally, I believe that's the reason why when he sends her out, so he just puts the boy on her shoulder and gives her a canteen of water and a loaf of bread. And people ask, what do you mean? Avraham couldn't have sent her with maidservants and menservants and camels and Kol Tuvi could have sent her with. But no, since God told him, Kol Asher Tomar Eilecha Sarah, whatever Sarah tells you, Shema Bikola, listen to her. Now, what was it that Sarah said? Garesh et ha'amazot. Cast her out. When you cast someone out, you don't send somebody off with great wealth. He sends her out with bread and water. Shmuel says, I listened to precisely what you told me to do. And incidentally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had also told him, Shema Bekolam, listen to them. Do whatever they want. Precisely. Okay, I did it. Now what I want is a reckoning. There's something very sad about what he's going to say. And now, behold, Hinei HaMelech Mithalev L'Fneichem, the king goes out before you. He's led you out in battle. V'ani Zokanti V'Safti. I have grown old. Seva is really more than old, really. Old age. Incidentally, Shmuel dies at age 52. This was said earlier. I would imagine Zakanti Vasafti, I mean he had grown gray haired, and the Gemara says, Misa Tzadikim, there are Tzadikim who die at age 52. And Shmuel was one of those tzaddikim. It was min hashamayim, the burden of office, and min hashamayim that it was from heaven that the torch has to pass. There is a new generation and a new order, not a new world order, but a new order for Klal Yisrael. The period of the judges has ended. It's now the time for for Malchus, kingdom. Ubanai hinami itchem, he says, my children are there with you. Vani hitalachti lefnechem, I walked before you. He uses, incidentally, the same term that he used earlier in the pasuk about the king. He uses about himself. He said, behold, the king is here. Mithalef, he's going there before you, leading you. You should know, I did that. I led you, minu urai, from my very youth, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. From my very youth, my whole life was dedicated and devoted to Klal Yisrael. So I says, Hineni, here I am. Anubi, testify in me. I want you to bear witness. Neged Hashem v'neged Mishicho, before God and before His Anointed One, the King. Et shor mi lokachti. Whose ox did I ever take? Did I ever take anything from anybody? V'chamor mi lakachti, that I take anybody's donkey. V'et mi oshakti, did I ever defraud anybody? Et mi ratzoti, did I oppress anybody? Miat mi lakachti kofet, did I take ransom from anybody? V'a'alim einaybo, and so that I would look away, did I take graft of any sort? V'ashiv lachem, testify now, and I will have the opportunity to respond. Over Oshiv Lachem means if I ever took anything from anybody, I'm going to repay it now. Obviously, here is one of the direct relationships between the Sedra and the Haftarah. What is it that Moshe Rabbeinu says before God? What is it that he says after the rebellion of Korach? Korach comes and says, who gave you the right to rule and lord over the Jewish people? Kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim. The entire community, the entire congregation. We're all holy. Who gave you the right to take for yourself Moshe's king? his brother is Kohen Gadol. Who gave you the right for this kind of nepotism? And what is it that that Moshe says before God? Vayichal Moshe Ma'od, in the Sedrit says Moshe got very angry. Vayomer al Hashem, and he said to God, Al teifen el minchatam, do not turn to accept their sacrifice. Lo chamor echad mehem nasati, I didn't take a donkey from any one of them. Velo hari oti et achad mehem, I never did anything bad to any one of them. The Rashi brings the statement of Chazal, Lo chamor echad mehem nasati. Lo chamoro shel echad mehem natalti, I didn't take anybody's donkey. Afilu kishahalachti mimidyon lemitzchayim, even when I traveled from Midian, I traveled to Egypt, God appeared to me at the snare, the burning bush, and he told me, go to Mitzrayim and tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. So he has to travel now with his family from Midian to Mitzrayim. Who should pay his travel expenses? They stay at a malon on the way. Who should foot the bill for this? The man is going in order to save Klal Yisrael. Magialo, that Eshel, isn't that what they call it over here? Achilas, Tia, and Lina should be paid for by the community. Afilu kishahalachti miMidyan leMitzrayim, even when I went from Midyan to Egypt, v'hirkafti et ishti v'et bonai al achamor, and I took my wife and my children on a donkey, v'hoyoli litolo to achamor mishalahem, I had the right to ask them to pay for the donkey. Lo natalti ela mishali, I paid it myself. We hear just about the same thing. Shmuel, there he is, the last time he's going to address a people whom he has led faithfully all of his life. And he says, did I take anybody's ox? Did I take anybody's donkey? Did I cause anybody loss? Did I oppress anybody? If yes, I will give it to you. The Medrash also says it. It does not appear in the Pasuk, but the Medrash says it with regard to Shimshon. When Shimshon is blind, he's brought into the house of Dagon, and he asks the boy to put his hands on the posts. So he asks of God to give him strength so that he should bring down that mob on him. So he says, Zechorli, God, Gemara says that Shimshon said, God, remember the 20 years that I judged the Jewish people and I never asked anybody to take makli, to take my stick, my staff, from one place to the next. I never asked them for anything. I had the right to. Never asked them. All right, so here's a similarity. But there's a problem with it. Did anybody accuse Shmuel of being dishonest? Did anybody accuse Moshe of it? Did anybody accuse Shimshon of it? Yes. Yeah, and Shmuel, though he was itinerant, he never took anything from anybody. Let me read the Medrash. And the Medrash uses slightly different terminology. Omar Rabba Bar Kahana, Rabba Bar Kahana says, Koshehu HaGezel, theft, a very, very difficult thing to deal with. Sheshnei gedolei olam, too great. Nitzruku lehitzvakeach alav, two of them had to, in a sense, show that they are decent and honest and moral and ethical. And who are those two great? Moshe and Shmuel. Moshe said, lo chamor echot mehen nosati, I never took anybody's donkey. And Shmuel said, did I take anybody's donkey? Moshe, the Medrash says, said that the Shoshe Yisrael mitnavdin As Jews journey from one place to the next, lo amarti le'echad mehem, I never told a single one of them, tol klizeh biyadcha, tol klizeh al chamorcha. The Medrash goes even further, and here the Medrash puts in the mouth of Moshe words that are similar to the words of the Medrash with regard to Shimshon. When Jews journeyed from one place to the next, I never asked the Jew, listen, you're journeying, here, take this for me. Or as they were journeying, I didn't ask somebody, here, take this and put it on your donkey. They would have done it gladly. He didn't say, oh, you're going to America, I happen to have letters with me. Some people would gladly have done it. Moshe says before God, I never asked anyone to take anything from one place to the next. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Godol Hador, Peshah, Shaholech Lasal Sarche Tzibur, the great men of the generation when they are out doing the work of the community. Mimihu Tzarech Litol Hachamor, from whom should he take the donkey? Lo Mishel Tzibur, shouldn't he take it from them? Beram Hacho Vihir, Vayikach Moshe, Ishto Ben Bonof, Moshe paid for it himself. Shmuel, here it's even, by Shmuel it's even more important, more significant. We talked about this during the Gulf War. One of the shiurim during the war was about the question of bitachon. This is going to happen later in Tanakh, where God tells Shmuel, Malchus Shol, the kingdom of Shol is over. I want you to go to Beit Lechem, because amongst the children of Yishai in Beit Lechem, I have seen one who will be king. So Shmuel turns to God and says, Eich Eilei, how can I go? V'shoma Shaul v'haraguni, how can I go? Shaul is going to hear that I'm going to anoint somebody v'haraguni and he'll kill me. Sakonas nefashes. So God tells him, Eglat bakar tikar v'yadecha, take a kelbala, take a calf with you. And when you get there, tell people that you've come in order to make a sacrifice. So remember, we dealt with it then in terms of the question of bitachon. I don't understand. Shmuel doesn't have trust and faith in God. God is the one who tells him, go to Beit Lechem and there to anoint one of the sons of Yishai. So he turns to God and he says, God, how can I go? Shaul will hear and he will kill me. I don't understand. Somebody should have told Shmuel, Shmuel, what happened to your bitachon? Don't you have bitachon? And you know what? Even God has no complaint to him. On the contrary, God gives him a cover. God tells him, you're right. Shmuel, you're right. Shaul is going to hear. You're going to be in danger. So you know what you have to do? Take an animal there. And anybody asks you what you're doing here, you've come to make a sacrifice. So we pointed out that bitachon does not mean simply have trust in God. Bitachon means you have to do something in order to protect yourself. The Medrash says that calf he took in order to conceal the great mission that he's about to undertake. And you know what kind of a mission that was? That was not merely a mission to anoint David as king of Israel. You know who he was anointing at that moment? He was anointing Melech HaMashiach. He was beginning the process that would end thousands of years later. So didn't he have a right to, at some point in time, to have presented a bill for an egel? Didn't present a bill for an egel. On the contrary, about Shmuel, it says that he was an itinerant shofet who went from city to city, and wherever he went, he took his home with him. He took everything that he needed with him from home, and not because he didn't trust people's kashrus on the way. He did not want to have to ask anybody for anything. Now, what's fascinating is, if there would have been some indication someplace in the parsha or in the Haftorah that he was being accused he was being accused of theft. Nobody accuses Moshe of theft. Nobody accuses Shmuel of having put his hand into the till. Nobody accused Shimshon of that. Why is this what they say? Why do they defend themselves and say, listen, we never took a penny even when we had a right to? Evidently, both Moshe and Shmuel understand that when there are any kind of complaints against a leader, consciously or subconsciously, it's never expressed, but there's always money. Money always is a factor. As far as Moshe is concerned, there may be, in a sense, good reason for it. In Parshas Pekudei, there's a very fascinating medrash. The medrash says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. After Moshe had finished the construction of the Mishkan, he says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. Here is the accounting of all the expenses of the Mishkan. How much we collected and how much we spent. The Hotsaot and the Hachnasot, and he makes an accounting for them. And terrible, terrible tragedy strikes. There are 1,775 shkalim that Moshe cannot account for. Incidentally, we're talking about millions upon millions of shkalim. 1,775. And Moshe turns to God and he says, now they're going to nail me. Now they're going to get me. Ad sheheir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einav, until God gave light into the eyes of Moshe, and Moshe in his accounting had overlooked one little item. The one little item was there were 1,775 hooks that held up all of the curtains of the Mishkan. Each one was made of a shekel of silver. Sometimes you can overlook the little things, and the little things that really hold the entire structure together. Moshe overlooked it, and here he thought, oh, this is it. They will have found their way to accuse me of having been immoral, unethical. I stole. All right. But it's clear that both Moshe and Shmuel realize that someplace over there, money, there's always the feeling that the one who sits by the temple, the kasa, the one who sits there is the one who has the opportunity to put his hands in and take something. I mean, obviously, we need not point out the fact that it is extremely, extremely important that anybody who's in a position of leadership has to remain clean of any kind of shadow of a doubt with regard to their morality and ethics as far as money is concerned. And for Moshe and Shmuel, we see that even where one did have the right, Moshe had the right to have his expenses paid. Shmuel had the right that they should have paid all of his expenses every time, wherever he traveled. For whom did he travel? For his own health. He traveled for the sake of Christ. I know what you're thinking. I know what my wife is thinking. For years, there was something that bothered me and bothered her. When I went to Toronto for the first time to 1959 to become to start the yeshiva in Toronto, I was an Orem Yeshiva Bacha. I'm not a millionaire today. I was an Orem Yeshiva Bacha. And in order to get to Toronto in those days by train, I went the only time in my life with a Pullman. What do you call them? A sleeper. It cost me $35, but I didn't have $35. So I borrowed it from somebody in a position of a number of months later, they came and collected the $35 from me. And I paid the $35. but it always bothered me. Who should have paid my $35? Who should have paid my expenses from Baltimore to Toronto? I had to pay the expenses. But I was an innocent little yeshiva bacha, and it didn't even occur to me that, listen, you fellas should be paying my expenses. What do you mean I paid the expenses? The only thing that I have benefited from this all my life is that when I come to this Rashi of Moshe, I can identify fully. $35! Didn't you fellas? Shouldn't you fellas have paid? I'm so happy that I paid it. But for years it aggravated me. Because I feel, you know, I was being taken advantage of, and I committed myself, I was, yes, and I committed myself to be taken advantage of. But when you figure out $35 over a lifetime, and to be able to say when you come to this Rashi that, you know, yeah, me too, so I understand the Rashi. Yes. Now, he doesn't know that he's going to die. It's just that this is his last function as the Navi. Now, Shmuel understands something, and this is also fascinating. Shmuel understands that the moment that the torch has passed, his responsibility now is to disappear from the scene. He's going to be in the background. And everybody has to understand this. A rabbi who leaves his community and a new rabbi takes over, that's it. Don't mix into the affairs of the community. Your principal leaves the school. His responsibility now was to make sure that Shaul is going to succeed. And incidentally, Shaul became the great passion of Shmuel's life because he saw Shaul as having been his handiwork. He created Shaul. He made him Melech. And therefore it says that when God told him that Shaul will no longer be king, it says that by Yit'abel he was in mourning. It was the great loss of his life. Until God tells him, no, you have to forget about it. It's all over. The great, real great work of your life is before you. Go to Bethlehem and anoint one of the sons of Yishai. So, interesting that neither in the Sedra nor in the Haftorah have they been accused of taking money. But Moshe and Shmuel both understand that while it may not be said, it may not be expressed, but in any complaint that people have to a leader, always, always there is in their minds the suspicion that he took. The Gemara even says that both Moshe and Shmuel were independently wealthy. Independently wealthy. Moshe, it says, when he smashed the luchot were very, very, made from very precious stone. Psolachot, God said, go create another set of luchot. So the Gemara says, Hapsolet Shelcha, the little gems that fell from the luchot, that belongs to you. That's yours. Incidentally, it means, therefore, that he receives his money directly from God. I mean, divinely inspired money. Yes? Moshe v'Aharon v'Chohanav u'Shmuel b'Kodei Shemo is a pasuk in Tillim that we say in Kabbalat Shabbat. What it really means over there is, if one wants to see the greatness of Shmuel, then you have to understand that he is mentioned in the same breath with Moshe and Aaron, who he anointed. But more than that, there's another important relationship. And Rashi points it out at the beginning of the Sedra. Shmuel was a Levi. Korach was a Levi. Shmuel was a direct descendant of Korach. And therefore, Korach thought that nothing is going to happen to him because he saw Beruach HaKodesh. He saw that a great leader of Klal Yisrael is going to come from him. So he thought that therefore, he will be spared and he has the right to speak up. And if you understand, you know what it means? It means more than that, much more than that. And you're going to see it coming up in the pasuk right away. Shmuel is going to say, God made Moshe and Aharon. Do you know what it means when a descendant of Korach says, you know who appointed Moshe and Aharon? God did it. In a sense, the entire Korach rebellion is going to end right here in the Haftorah. Watch, let's read a few psukim. And by the way, you just inspired me to say that. I never thought about it before. It only occurred to me now. Thank you. I always thank you for inspiring me. Watch. Let's read the psukim. Vayomru, they said to him, Lo ashaktanu, velo ratzotanu, you did not defraud us, you didn't depress us, velo lakachto miyad ish v'umo, you didn't take anything from anybody. Vayomer aleihem, he said to them, Eid Hashem b'chem, let God be a witness. Ve'eid mishicho hayom hazeh, his anointed one, Shaul, will be a witness today. Ki lo mitzvatem biyadim u'ma, you didn't find in my hand anything. Nothing. Vayomer eid. Vayomer eid. And he said, what do you mean he said? Vayomer should be vayomeru, they said. Why is it in the singular? So there are two ways. One is pe'echad. All of the people in unison together said it. But there's another pshat the Medrash says. God said it. A voice came out of heaven and said, God bears testimony that Shmuel never took a thing. And the Medrash says the following. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, V'shlosha mikomot hofia ruach hakodesh. There are three times that ruach hakodesh appeared. B'beit dino shel Shem, u'b'beit dino shel Shmuel, u'b'beit dino shel Shlomo. In the bedin of Shem, the son of Noach, in the bedin of Shmuel, in the bedin of Shlomo. B'beit dino shel Shem. Where did God appear in the in the Bedin of Shem, when Yehuda had passed judgment that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, is to be taken out and burned at the stake, it says by Yaakov Yehuda, she said, I am pregnant by the one to whom this staff and this signet ring belongs. By Yaakov Yehuda, and Yehuda recognized them, by Yomer, he said, Sotka, she is right. Me many. It is from me that she is pregnant. So the Medrash asks, Mino Yada, how did he know that she is pregnant from him? Could be just as she slept with him, there may have been somebody else and she is pregnant from somebody else. How could Yehuda know for sure? Yotzusa Baskol, out came a voice from heaven and said, Me many Yotzu Kivushim. Yehuda is right. It is from him that she is pregnant, and the many, God says, that all of this happened in such a unique and unusual way that seems to cast aspersions on the entire house of David, that secret comes from me. I have my reasons for it. The second time that Ruach HaKodesh appeared was with Dino Shel Shmuel, Dichtiv, when Shmuel says over here, Hinini, here I am, Anubi, testify about me. Neged Hashem before God, and before his anointed one, Vayomer Aleihem, and it says, he said, Eid, so the Medrash says, Vayomru mi boy, it should have said in the plural, and they said, Ela Yotzusav Baskol, out comes a voice from heaven and says, Ani Eid Badavar Azeh, God says, I am witness. And the third time that Ruach HaKodesh appeared was in the Bedin of Shlomo. What does Shlomo say? Give me a sword and cut the child in two, the baby that is in dispute between the two women. And then the Vayan HaMelech, the king answered Vayomer, he said, Tnu lo et hayalud, give her the child. He imo, she is his mother. Yotzusa baskol the Amra, out came a voice from heaven and said, He imo, she is the mother. The Baskol said it. So now we have God himself. Just as God in the Sedra makes it clear that Moshe is the appointed leader of Klal Yisrael, so too God says that Shmuel has been honest and forthright and ethical during his whole life. Let's go further. Vayom Shmuel Olam. Shmuel said to the nation, Hashem Asher Asad Moshe Beth Aaron, God who made Moshe and Aaron. This is what I was talking about. God who made Moshe and Aaron Ba'asher Helat Avotechem Eretz Yisrael, and who brought your fathers out of Egypt. Can you imagine? This is the final conclusion of the rebellion of Korach. It all ends here. To say about Moshe and Aaron that God made them. And who's saying it? An enagle of Korach is saying, God made Moshe and Aaron. It's not Moshe who did it. It's not he who appointed himself, nor his brother. It's God who made Moshe and Aaron. Very rare in Tanakh that that it says that God made somebody. Obviously over here it means he made them and prepared them that they should be the leaders of the Jewish people. And the God who took your fathers out of Egypt. And what begins now is the last will and testament, the last speech of Shmuel to the Jewish people. He's not the only one. Moshe gives a last will and testament. Yehoshua at the end of his life. Now let's hear what it is that Shmuel says. Now stand here and we will dialogue, we will debate before God. All of the charity, the goodness of God, all that he did for you and your fathers. And he goes through, in brief, he goes through Jewish history. How important it is that people remember history. You can't forget history. Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim as Yaakov, when Yaakov came to Egypt, Vayizaku avotechem al Hashem, your fathers called out to God. Vayishlach Hashem, and God sent at Moshe et Aaron, he sent Moshe and Aaron, Vayotziu et avotechem in Mitzrayim, they took your fathers out of Egypt. You see, he's reminding them something. Korach didn't remember it a year later. Who took them out of Egypt? Korach a year later didn't remember, and Shmuel 300 years later remembers Moshe and Aaron that took you out of Mitzrayim. From that, when one reads this, it's obvious that the whole Korach rebellion just makes no sense. How do you attack leaders who took you out miraculously from the house of bondage? A year later, they've forgotten everything. A year later. No gratitude. No, it says, Nishgeld and Nishgratitude. He doesn't get his expenses. And not only that, he suffers and is accused. And who are we talking about? We're talking about Moshe, who was such a reluctant Messiah. He didn't want to go. Now he does go, and he brings them miraculously out of Egypt to be accused of having taken the scepter of royalty and kingdom into his own hands. Anyway, Vayoshivim b'Makom Hazeh, and they brought them to this place. Vayishkhu at Hashem Elokeim, and the Jewish people forgot God their God. Vayim Korotam, God gave them over into the hands of Sisera, the commander-in-chief of the forces of Chatzor, and into the hands of the Plishtim, the hands of the king of Moab, Vayilachamubam, and they waged war with them. This is the entire period of the Shoftim. Vayizakuel Hashem, and they cried out to God. Vayomu, and they said, Chotonu, we sinned. Ki ozavnu et Hashem, we have forsaken God. Vanavod, and we served the Baalim and the Ashtarot. Va'aton now, Hatzileinu miyado yivenu v'navdecha. God, save us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Vayishlach Hashem, and God sent at Yerubal, at Bedon, at Yiftach, v'et Shmuel. Vayatzel etchem miyad oyevechem, and he saved you from the hands of your enemies, misavir, from all around. Vateishu betach, and you've been able to live in security. He mentions four of the great Shoftim. Who are the four that he mentions? He mentions Yerubal. Yerubal was Gidon. He was called Yerubal because Yorev im Baal. He waged war with Baal. Gidon. Who is Bedon? Bedon is Shimshon, because Shimshon came from the tribe of Dan. And Yiftach is next week's Haftarah. Bet Shmuel, and he speaks about himself. The truth is the truth. It God sent all of these people, and through them he saved you from the hands of your enemies. Incidentally, Yerubal, that is Gidon, and Shimshon, and Yiftach, are not really the most respectable and savory of characters. I mean, it depends, of course. If you remember all of the things that I said about Shimshon and Yiftach, then you'll we've already done quite a bit of work on Shimshon and on Yiftach, but they certainly don't fall into the category of Shmuel. So here there's the Medrash. This, I believe, is a famous Medrash. Yes, it is. And if it isn't, it's going to become famous now. Yes. Yeah. Ah, here it is. Medrash says the following. Yerubal is Gidon. Don is Shimshon. Yiftach. Shokal ha-katov shlosho kalei olam ki shlosho hamurei olam. You had mentioned the pasuk Moshe va'aharon b'chohanov u'shmuel b'korei shemo. Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel. So there are three, and these are the three hamurei olam, the three heavyweights of all time. Gidon, Yiftach, and Shimshon are the lightweights. The Medrash uses this terminology that there's an equation here that is made between Shlosha Kalei Olam, the three lightweights of all time, and Shlosha and the three heavyweights. Lo Malacha, in order to tell you, Yerubal Bidoro, Kimoshe Bidoro, Gidon in his generation was like Moshe in his generation. Bidon Bidoro, Shimshon in his generation was like Aaron in his generation. Yiftach b'doro to Shmuel b'doro. Yiftach in his generation was like Shmuel in his generation. Ulalamedcha, this comes to teach you, shafilu kal shebekalim, even the lightest of the lightest, v'nitmane parnes al atzibur, if he's been appointed to a position of leadership over the Jewish people, harehu ka'abir sheba'abirim, he is like the mighty of the mighty. Shenem, as it says in Torah, Uvata el Akoanim Halavim O El Hashofet Asher Yiyeh Bayamim Ahem. You shall come to the Kohen or to the judge who shall be in those days. So the Medrash asks, V'chital al Dadcha, will it ever occur to you that you should go to the judge or the Shofet or the Kohen of a different time? You can only go to the one in your time. So why does it say you should come to the Shofet Asher Bayamim Ahem? Is it possible for a man to go to a judge who is not in his days? You have a responsibility to go to the judge in your day. Yiftach bedoro, I believe that this is the statement of Chazal that has become famous. Yiftach bedoro, Yiftach in his generation was like Shmuel in his generation. That means you don't have a right to compare the leadership of one generation with the leadership of another generation. He is your leader, then you should know, even if he is Kal Shebekalim, by virtue of the fact that he becomes leader of Klal Yisrael, he becomes Abir Sheba Abirim, the mighty of the mighty. So that the Yiftach b'doro to Shmuel b'doro. All right, let's go further. It means, of course, that we have a responsibility of respecting the leadership of our generation. They are our leaders. I mean, obviously, assuming that the leader is honest and ethical and moral and is quite ready to stand for judgment in the presence of all of Israel. He's ready to open up all of his files. He is ready to testify about anything. If you have any questions, ask me. I will respond. He does not wait to be subpoenaed, but on the contrary of all the strange things, Shmuel subpoenas Klal Yisrael. Come judge me and ask me any questions that you want. If, God forbid, I took anything from anybody, I'm ready to repay it right now. That's obviously leadership of a tremendous proportions. Further, back to the text. Vatiru, and then you saw, Ki Nochash Melech B'nei Amon Ba'alechem, Nochash, the king of the sons of Amon, came against you, Vatomru Li, and you said to me, Lo Ki Melech Yimloch Aleinu. The last battle that had been waged, the one that was waged by Shaul, was against Nochash B'nei Amon. He came, and they said, no, we want that the king should rule over us. And here he tells them, you wanted a king, but Vashem Elokeichem Malkechem, God your God, is your king. You were wrong, you shouldn't have asked for a king. And now, Hinei HaMelech Asher B'chartem, behold, here is the king who you've chosen, Asher Sha'oltem, that you asked for, V'hinei Natan Hashem Aleichem Melech, God has placed this king upon you. So now he tells them, Imtidu et Hashem, if you will fear God, Va'avadetem Oto, and you will serve him, Ushmatem Bikolo, and you will listen Bikolo in his voice. Velo Tamru et B'Hashem, and you will not rebel against the word of God. V'yitem Gamatem, V'gam HaMelech Hashem Molech Aleichem, Acha Hashem Elokeichem, and you, and the king who rules over you, you will all follow God, then it'll be good. Lo tishmu b'kol Hashem. You will not listen to the voice of God. Umiditem et pi Hashem, and you will rebel against His word. Vahita yad Hashem b'chem u'ba'avoteichem. The hand of God will go out against you and your fathers. Gam ata, now also hityatzu, stand here u'ru'u et hadavar hakadol hazeh, this great thing asher Hashem oseh la'inichem, that God does before your very eyes. Halo k'tzir chitim hayom. Today is the day of k'tzir chitim. It's the time of the harvest of the grain. This time of year, it doesn't rain this time of year. There may have been heavy clouds this morning, but there was no chance that it was going to rain, not even a 10% chance. It's not the time of year that it rains in Eretz Yisrael. So he tells them, today is the day of the time of the harvest of the grain. Ekrael Hashem, I'm going to call out to God. V'yitain kolotu mata, there will be sounds, the rumblings of thunder and rain. Udu'u uru'u, and know and see. Ki ra'atcham rabah asher asitim b'yin Hashem. You've done great evil in the eyes of God. L'shol lachem melech, to ask for a king. I'm always fascinated by those two words, du'u uru'u, know and see. Wouldn't know be enough? Wouldn't Re'u be enough? See, they're going to see something absolutely miraculous. It doesn't rain here. It doesn't light. There's no lightning and thunder, and a downpour doesn't happen this time of year. And it's going to happen right away. What Shmuel is saying is the following. We see what we want to see. The only way you can be certain that you're really seeing and what you're seeing is going to have a positive impact upon you is u'du'u. You have to know something intellectually. If you know something intellectually, then you are going to see it clearly. And if you don't know something intellectually, or if you have all sorts of other ideas in mind, the chances are you're going to see things as you want to see them. A number of people can watch the same event take place, and they are going to give completely different reports of what happened. Each one comes with all of that intellectual baggage or garbage to an event. And there are therefore those who see it clearly, and those who unfortunately can witness the hand of God, witness the hand of God, and be totally unmoved. It makes absolutely no difference. If there is no de'u in advance, there is no de'u, there is no seeing afterwards. Vayikra Shmuel al Hashem, Shmuel called out to God, Vayitain Hashem kolotu matar, and God called down all sorts of thunder and rain by Yomahu on that day. Vayira kol ha'omba odet Hashem ve Shmuel, and the entire nation feared God and Shmuel. You should know this is the only time in the life of Shmuel that he calls for a miraculous intervention on his own behalf, or for that matter, asks for any kind of miraculous intervention. Obviously, of course, here there is again a direct relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. What is it that Moshe says? Im kemot kol adam yemutun ele, if these rebellious ones are going to die the way all human beings die, then you should know I'm not the then God did not send me. He calls upon God to create a form of punishment unknown of before. Vayomer Moshe said, "Bezot teidun, with this you will know ki Hashem shlochani, that God has sent me lasot et kol ha'asim ha'ele, to do all of these deeds. Ki lo mi libi, it did not come from me. I didn't appoint myself. Im kemot kol ha'adam yemutun ele, if these people will die the way all men die, uf kudab kol ha'adam, and their end will be the end of all men, yipaked aleim, lo Hashem shlochani, God did not send me. V'im b'riya yivra Hashem, if God is going to create something very special, ufatasoha damad diha, and the earth is going to open up its mouth, ubala otam that kol asher lehem, and it will swallow up them and all that belongs to them, v'yardu chayim sha'ola, they will go down alive into the grave, v'yadatem, then you will know, ki niyatsuha noshim ha'ilat Hashem, these people have rejected and denied God. It was quite a request that was made by Moshe. Both Moshe and Shmuel make very special requests, and God acquiesces to those requests. Now, there's also something else that's interesting, and this has to be pointed out. Even when Moshe makes his accounting, Lo chamor echot mehem nosate, he never took anybody's donkey. When you read the Sedra, you'll see that he makes his accounting with God. He speaks to God. Shmuel is the one who makes the accounting with the people. And the only time in his life that he calls for miraculous intervention by God. And then what does it say? The people feared God and Shmuel. Where do we have something sort of similar? What does it say by the Yamsuf after they cross the Yamsuf? By Yaminu Bahashem over Moshavdo. They believed in God and in his servant Moshe. Here there is a fear of God and a fear of Shmuel. Ayomru kol ha'am el Shmuel, the entire people said to Shmuel, Hitpaleil da'ad avadechos, pray for your servants el Hashem lokecho, to God your God, va'al namut, and that we shall not die. We had pointed out in a number of other places where for example, in Yeshayahu, Chizkiyahu sends people to Yeshayahu to ask Yeshayahu to pray on behalf of Klal Yisrael when Yerushalayim is surrounded by the forces of Sanherib, king of Assyria. So they tell Yeshayahu, speak to God, your God. Now when one looks at it at first glance, it may seem to be an indication as though their faith is not really complete. What do you mean they say God, your God? As they say over here, Hitpalel, pray for your servants, El Hashem Lekecha, to God, your God. It depends how you say it. No, it depends how you say it. It does not mean God, your God, well, you know, not mine, but yours. That's not what it means. What it means is, in speaking to a Navi, very often they will use this kind of terminology in order to point out that we know that you have a special relationship with God. Your relationship with him is that special, it's as though it's God, your God. In other words, you have a direct line. For you, it's a local call. It's Hashem Elokecha. By saying Hashem Elokecha, God your God, it means that we are acknowledging the very special relationship that exists between the Navi and God. Therefore, pray for your servants to God your God. And as I say, similar terminology is used when they speak to Yeshayahu, that Yeshayahu should pray to God, his God, on behalf of the Jewish people. We've added evil upon all of our sins. L'sh'olanu melech, to ask for a king. Yom Shmuel said to the people, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. Atem afitim et kol hara azot. Yes, you've done all of this evil. Achal tosturu me'acharei Hashem. Do not turn back from behind God. Va'avadetem et Hashem. Bechol avavchem, serve God with all of your heart. V'lo tosturu. Should not turn away. Ki acharei hato'u asher lo yo'ilu. V'lo yatzilu ki to'u hema. Don't turn after that which is naught and nonsense and cannot help you. Because you can always, you should know that you can always place your trust in God. Kilo yitosh Hashem et amo, because God is not going to forsake his people, tavur shemo hakadol, because of his great name's sake. Ki ho'il Hashem la'azot etchem lo la'am, because God wants, and God is happy that you should be his people. First of all, we're not finished yet, but we've gone through the entire text of Haftarah. That's something special. We don't usually make it through the entire Haftarah. A number of comments have to be made. One is a comment from the Medrash. Kosov Echad Omer, there is one pasuk that says, Ki lo yitosh Hashem et amo ba'avur shemo hagadol. That's the pasuk we just read here. But there is another pasuk in Tehillim that says, Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachalato lo yazo. And you know, the song is put to those words. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachalato lo yazo. God will not forsake his people, v'nachalato, his inheritance, Eretz Yisrael. He will not leave them. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni. Says Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, why these two psukim? One says that God does not forsake his people for his own name's sake, and the other says because of his name and because of his land, Eretz Yisrael. Amar Ashur Barachmeni Pamim Shuhu Oseh Bavur Shemo Hagadol. There are times that God will bring aid and assistance to Klal Yisrael for his own name's sake. Upamim Shuhu Oseh Bavur Shemo Unachalato. And there are times that he does it for his name and for his land. Bichutz Aladet Bavur Shemo Unachalato. When he brings aid and assistance to Klal Yisrael in Chutz Laretz, it is because for his name's sake and for his land. Ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, he does things Ba'avur Shema HaGadol, for his great name's sake. I don't know, I have a feeling that, you know, when does he intervene in Chutz Laretz? Any intervention that took place in Chutz Laretz throughout history, in great measure, was always related to Eretz Yisrael. Always related to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the real big events, be it an Operation Shlomo or anything of that sort, this is Bavur Shemo HaGadol V'Nachalato. Can't go away from the Haftarah without at least raising another question. But I'm afraid that there simply won't be enough time to deal with it. We'll have to find next time we do the series on the Haftarahs. What was wrong with their asking for a king? She says it was the wrong time. What do you mean it was the wrong time? How should they know that? In the Torah, there is a mitzvah, Som Tosim Alecha Melech, place a king upon yourself. There is a mitzvah in Torah, Som Tosim Alecha Melech. Well, they had already come to the land. They were already 300 years in the land. They were already 300 years in the land. And the Rambam says it, shalosh mitzvos nitzdavu yisrael to Gemara. There were three mitzvos that Klal Yisrael were commanded. Bishatni satam la'aretz, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, lemanot lehem melech, to appoint a king, lahachrit zarosh al amalek, to destroy Amalek, velivnot bet ha'bechina, to build the bet ha'mikdash. So what was so terrible? In a number of times, the Navi Shmuel tells them, you did a terrible thing by asking for a king. A terrible, terrible thing you did. So what was so terrible? Yes. That's one. One approach is that they asked Betar Umot, and the Rambam says, Me'achar shehakamat melech mitzvah, I'm reading from the Rambam in Hilchot Malachim, since the appointment of a king is a mitzvah, lama lo rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't God want kishashalu melech mishmuel, when they asked Shmuel for a king? What's everybody getting upset with Klal Yisrael? It's a mitzvah. We want to fulfill a mitzvah. Answers the Rambam with kishashalu b'tarumet, because they asked with a complaint. V'lo shalu l'kayin ha-mitzvah. They didn't ask, their intent was not to fulfill the mitzvah, elav neisha kotsu b'shmuel ha-navi. They had enough of Shmuel. Shenema, God says, lo adcham asu, it's not you, they rejected, it's me. It was not asked because they said, we want, like all of the nations of the world, somebody who will judge us. But I must say, the Chazal also tell us that they had asked at the wrong time. What it means that they had asked at the wrong time is, as long as they had a man like Shmuel, who proves it to them right here, that he is able to call upon God's intervention whenever he wants. When you have a Navi with such power, that's not the time to ask for a Melech. A Melech always represents the idea that there is a transfer now from a leadership which is so inextricably intertwined with the divine, and a leadership that represents something closer to what we would call Hanhagat Tivit, leadership of a normal nature, where God is in a sense in the background and there is a leader of flesh and blood. As long as Shmuel was alive and Shmuel was able to call down the wrath of God and the aid and assistance of God, as they indeed say as well, Hit Palel, El Hashem Elokecha, to God your God. As long as a man like Shmuel walks amongst Klal Yisrael, that's not the time to ask for a king. In a sense, it was not only with Shmuel, according to the Pesukim, but it seemed they were also concerned about Shmuel's children, that you're getting old and your children are not going in your ways. In what respect didn't they go in the ways? So the Gemara says, Kol Haomer, whoever says, B'nei Shmuel Chotu, the children of Shmuel sin, Einu Elato is making a mistake. Their level of devotion and dedication to the community was not as high as their father's. They did take their expenses from Klal Yisrael. You know, it's not fair. And maybe that's why in this parak it says, Yiftar Bedoro, Yishmuel Bedoro. Shmuel's children don't have to be like him. You can't, it's not fair to judge. It's not fair to judge children on the basis of who their fathers were. I think it's terribly, terribly unfair. You can't do that. Huh? They didn't even get a chance. But it was unfair. In other words, the children have to be the tzaddik, because they're the children of Shmuel, so they have to be on Shmuel's level. What kind of, that's an unfair demand to make. I just touched the topic of what was wrong. There's so much that is written in the Mefarshim about this question. Why were they so roundly condemned for having asked for a king, when in fact having a king is a mitzvah? So it's the way they asked, or as you say, and the Medrash says, ha'itui, over here, the itui, the timing. But in this country, of course, any time anybody raises or does something, the opposition always says, ha'itui, lo nachon, the timing was not right. Over here, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the timing was not right. When there is a Shmuel, you don't ask for a Melech. The difference, of course, between the Sedra and the Haftorah, there is a difference. Moshe Moshe in the Sedra is finally established without any opposition as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Shmuel, now this is Ki Lo Yitosh Hashem Amo. This is the end of Shmuel's career. Everything is now going to move in the direction of Shaul and then ultimately David. Okay.